Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
So, Father, thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for just stirring our hearts this morning and bringing confirming word of how much you love these, your people. And may we carry, Lord, that honor and respect always for your people. Now teach us through your word by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up and say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says, we are his children. We are free from all fear, worry, and anxiety because he is our peace, our shepherd, and our provider. Yes, he is. We're going to continue our series this morning on the names of God. And knowing God is more important than any other knowledge you can have. Amen. Knowing him is more important than any knowledge or education you can get. Education's important. I get that. But there's no greater knowledge than knowing the one true God. And when we truly seek him, how many of you know we find him? If we really seek him, we'll find him. And as we do, we begin to experience his nature. We begin to experience his character, what he's like. And our hearts become open to worship him, to sit with him, to walk with him. That's how we get to know him. And it's kind of interesting that way. We seek him. He reveals himself. Then in that revealing, we get to know him better. And then when we get to know him, we're like, I want to know you more. Yeah. And so we lean in a little bit more. Yeah. And he discloses more of himself. Yeah. Amen. You know, Laura Harp had a word from the Lord. He spoke this to her a week or two ago. Having devotional time is a good thing. Amen. Sitting with Jesus is a good thing. But what he told Laura, he said, listen, I don't want to have a devotion with you. I want to dwell with you. And we had a word at Prayer Shield yesterday. The Lord said, don't just sit with me, walk with me. Cause don't get in a religious mindset that says, yeah, I sat with Jesus for an hour today. I've started my day with him and then get up and go, now let me go work for God. Don't do anything for him. Do everything with him. Letting him lead you, guide you, direct you. Isn't that a good word? Don't just sit with me, walk with me. Don't just do a devotion. Let me dwell with you all day, every day. Everybody say all day, every day. Look at Jeremiah 29:13. This is one of the scriptures when Jesus really introduced himself to Stacy in the closet back in February. This is one of the passages he gave her. Jeremiah 29:13. And you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, says the Lord. Everybody say, the Lord. All right. So this is one of the scriptures that he mentioned to her, and that's what we're talking about. If you'll seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. This is how we get to know him. And we're in a culture that says, well, there is a God, but you can't really know him. There's some truth somewhere out there, but there's really no absolute truth. Oh, I beg to differ. I've met him. Amen. So we're in a culture where God needs to be known. We can reveal that you can know the one true God. He says, I will be found by you. Don't listen to what the culture says. If you'll seek me with your heart, you'll find me. And then this is Jeremiah 29:13-14 from the Names of God Bible. I just found that this week. Thought that was interesting timing. So in the Names of God Bible, it just, where it says God in most translations or Lord, it'll tell you what the actual name is that's being used. So when you look for me, you'll find me. When you wholeheartedly seek me, I will let you find me, declares Yahweh. Okay, now we're going to elaborate on that here today. Not just yet, but we will. So we have this desire to know him. He reveals himself, then we desire to know him. I had lunch with a pastor this last week, and we were talking about being a disciple. Discipleship is important. Not being a church member, which is nowhere in the Bible, but being a disciple, a follower, a lover of Jesus is in Scripture. And we love him with all of our heart. Amen? So it does talk about that. And here's what he said to me. Did Jesus ever tell any one of the other disciples not to put their head on his chest? John the Beloved, right? In the picture, John the Beloved is always seen leaning into Jesus. He puts his head on Jesus' chest. And he said, Brother Steve, do you think Jesus ever told any of the other disciples they couldn't do that? I said, no, no way. So John the Beloved chose to do that. He wanted deeper and deeper knowing of Jesus and his love. And so he leaned in to real intimacy with Jesus. And it's just the same way for us. We have a part to play. And the more we lean in to get to know him, the more we get to know him. And the more we get to know him, the more we love him. And the more we love him, the more we want to lean into him. Come on, amen. Now, I'll take that any day over being a church member. You're right, where Jesus is our weekend visit. Hey, Jesus, how you doing? I haven't talked to you all week, but it's good to talk to you today. I'd much rather be leaning into him, loving him, being loved by him all week long. Somebody say amen. So we have a part to play. We can't just go to church on Sunday and hope to really know Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, Emmanuel, El Shaddai. Come on, amen. You can't expect just to go to church on Sunday and really know him. We want to get to know him every day of the week. And if we're with him every day of the week and we're dwelling with him and he's dwelling with us, it's not just a 5-minute devotion, but we're really walking with him. We begin to bear much fruit. And that is critical in the culture we live in, that we're bearing evidence, produce of the one true God and his existence. Because our mission, it's a challenging culture we live in, but our mission is not to match the culture or Twitter or politicians insult for insult. That is not our mission. Our mission is to put the knowledge of the one true God on display for all the world to see. That's our mission, to demonstrate his love, his goodness, his generosity. That's why I love that about helping 94 families. We were part of not just this church, but part of several churches and ministries in this region partnering together. Can you believe it? Church is not fighting, not jockeying for membership, but saying, hey, there's a need in our city for families where the school is saying, I know these, but they may not ask for help, but we know they need help. And so we partner together and we end up giving a little kiss from the Lord, a little, hey, God is generous. God is good. We don't want anything from you. We want to bless you. We don't want anything back. There's no criteria if you need to come to our church or we're not giving you anything. Man, I can't remember Jesus ever saying that to me. Well, Steve, if you don't do what I want you to do, then I'm not going to love you. He has never said that to me. If I'm short on love, he'll say, Steve, why don't you sit down for a while and receive my love? Because I've noticed you're short on love out there. He didn't say, go love everybody and then I'll start loving you. He leads by supply. He gives you love to love with. He's generous to you so you can be generous to those in need. Amen. And our culture needs to see the living God on display. They don't need to see churches jockeying for membership quotients. Amen. Where's my amen button? I mean, it's right over there. I got it. Don't make me get it. How many of you know, we looked at last week, God is Elohim, mighty creator. So he can stand outside of time, space, and matter. He can stand outside of the heavens and the earth, and he'll create two dimensions. Here's the heavens, and here's the earth. But God himself is omnidimensional. Then he lovingly, mercifully inserts himself into those two dimensions. Why? So we might know him, because we're bidimensional, and we exist within the heavens and the earth. But he's way bigger than that. And God, being so smart, realized that if I'm Elohim, if I'm the mighty creator who creates all things, they may have a challenge knowing me. So let me really disclose myself progressively over time, showing them who I really am. Now that's the love of God. That's the love of God. He's personal. So he didn't begin in Genesis. We did. Everybody pause and we say, Selah, right? It means ponder that. Think about it. He didn't begin in Genesis. We did. So the first thing he made wasn't the heavens and the earth. He created a beginning. He created a beginning and inserted us into it. And so since our beginning, I'm not going to say since the beginning because he doesn't have a beginning and everything that exists within him. So I'll say since our beginning, he has in various forms been disclosing himself, because although he is mighty, awesome, incredible, bigger than the cosmos, you know, it's written in scripture, he holds the universe within the expanse of his hand. The universe. So he is always disclosing himself because he loves us and wants us to know him. The first name for your notes that we looked at was Elohim, mighty, strong creator. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the word for God there is Elohim. As we move through scripture, we see the next name for God, which is mentioned over 6,500 times in the Old Testament, and it's Jehovah. Jehovah, or you may know it as Yahweh. Now, the Jews, this name was so sacred that even in transcribing scripture, they would not say it out loud for fear of speaking his name in vain. In other words, that I haven't given it the honor it should have. So I dare not speak it unless pretty much I'm on my face in full revelation that he is God and I am not. So they wouldn't even speak it, and they took the vowels out of it. YHWH is a lot of the translation there. They took the vowels out of it so nobody would speak it for fear of taking it in vain, flippantly. He's a big God. Like we said last week, we need to be able to balance that, yes, he loves us and we want to be friends of God. I mean, Almighty God, but hey, he's God and he's big and we need to have a holy reverence for him. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy and set apart is your name. And all these names are simply to reveal and disclose himself to us, because he wants you to know him. We could camp there. He makes us, and he's so big, but he wants us to know him, so he starts revealing himself. So it says in Genesis 2, verse 1, Names of God Bible. Heaven and earth and everything in them were finished. By the seventh day, Elohim had finished the work he had been doing. On the seventh day, he stopped the work that he had been doing. And then Elohim, mighty creator, blessed the seventh day and set it apart as holy, because on that day he ceased from his work of creation. This is the account of heaven and earth when they were created, at the time when Yahweh Elohim made earth and heaven. So we see a transition, and he actually combines two names, Yahweh Elohim, because where Elohim is the name of God in mighty creation, he's a mighty creator. Yahweh now becomes an introduction to one of his names. It's the difference between you knowing me as, hey, that guy over there, versus I say, my name is Steve. Yeah. So here he comes. He starts disclosing himself, and it's a compound revelation there. It literally is translated Yahweh Elohim. So when they're together in the Bible, this isn't the only place, but when they're together in the Bible, it's a dual revelation of creator, but also personal God. So Jehovah or Yahweh is the Lord. If you see it in scripture, all caps, L-O-R-D, it's going to be Jehovah. L-O-R-D, all caps, is the Lord. So this is his, Elohim is his strong creator name. Jehovah is God saying, I want you to know me. Elohim is the side of God who created the heavens and the earth. Jehovah is the side of God who relates to his creation personally. I can't get over this in my spirit. That he would make us, but so long and desire to reveal himself to us. And it's been a progressive revelation like we talked about last week. But remember, he's not confined to time. We look at time. He's not looking at that. That's right. He's looking at creation as a whole and him disclosing himself. My goodness. So this is God relating to his creation personally and becoming our source. Everybody say source. Let me throw a few up here for you. So Jehovah is going to have several compound names with it. The name Jehovah, Lord, is going to have several names with it. Jehovah Jireh, we're going to look at some of these. Man, I don't know how long this series will go, but it'll be fun. Amen. The Lord, your provider. The Lord whose? The Lord, your provider. He's personal and he's revealing source. Why? Because you came from him. And every created thing, this is a law, every created thing has to abide in the dimension or source it came from. So when God made fish, he spoke to the water to bring forth fish. So there's a law at work. Fish must now abide in water or they will die. So in the garden, that's why he said, don't eat of this other tree. Never declare your independence from my spirit. Don't get into the self-knowledge of good and evil. If you turn to yourself for source, dying, you will die. That is the actual literal translation of that word, die. Dying, you will die. If you quit abiding in me as source, dying, you will die. That's a fish on the bank. He is dying and he will die. So this is a law. Whatever, every created thing, there's only one creator. Amen. We're creation. I know we're smarter than fish, but we have in common with fish that we're both created. We just happen to be created in his image. But there is a law. So whatever dimension sourced you, that you came out of, he spoke to the water to bring forth fish. So fish must abide and live and remain in water or dying, they will die. The stars, remember he spoke to the firmament to bring forth the stars. So when you see that star falling from the sky, what is it doing? Dying. And then he spoke to the ground to bring forth plants and vegetation. But when he made you and me, who did he speak to? He spoke to himself. He spoke to himself. Let us make man in our image. He didn't speak to the ground or the water or the firmament. He spoke to himself, let us bring forth man. So there's a law. You have to abide in him or dying, you will die. Man is made for spirit. Come on, amen. God is spirit. Whoever worships him, whoever wants to find life must do so in spirit and in truth because we came from truth. We came from the Spirit of God. So we must live there, abide there, remain there. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, which literally means if you live in me, remain in me, stay in me, you'll bear much fruit. You can say the same thing about the plant that came from the ground. Say to that plant, if you'll abide in that ground because it begot you, if you'll live there, you'll bear much fruit. Amen. So what he's saying, I'm your source. Jehovah Shalom is another name of God. The Lord, whose peace? Where are you going to get peace from? Not the world. High five. Not from what everybody else thinks about you. Not from whether your team won or not. Not from whether your stocks are doing any good or not. We've all taken our umbilical cord and plugged it in to people and stuff and stock markets and football, and it left us dead. Dying, we were dead. Amen? But why is it when we plug into him, we come alive? We have resources we never had before all of a sudden. Because you're made by him and for him. This is a law. If you came from him, you must abide in him. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. I spit on you? There's some anointed spit flying out here this morning. Everybody shout source. source. He's your source. So in the revelation of his names, and we're looking at Jehovah today, he pairs them with ways he sources you. You can't find provision outside of him. You can't find peace outside of him. How about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord your shepherd? Your shepherd. I am your shepherd. Whatever you have need of, I am. Woo. There's another one, Jehovah Sidkenu. The Lord, Sidkenu, the Lord your righteousness. You cannot be made right or have righteousness outside of anyone but me. You need righteousness, I am righteousness. You need love, I am love. You need a shepherd, I am your shepherd. Yes. Amen. So here he goes, he's beginning to reveal who he is, but also source. So here's what the Holy Ghost is saying to us in this series. You've got to get this. He's saying you can either believe in God or you can know him. That's what this is about. And the world tells us, the teenagers told us from the survey at the University of North Carolina, well, there is a God, but you can't really know him. Yes, you can. And here in this country, where as long as we're here and the Holy Ghost is here and the Church of Jesus Christ is here on this planet, we're going to push back the darkness, which in Scripture, darkness simply connotes ignorance, the ignorance that you can't know God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. He's been disclosing himself from the beginning, from our beginning. From our beginning, he's been revealing himself. And to me, there's no greater love than that. He desires to be your provider, your peace, your shepherd, your righteousness, your love. Everything you need to get it from him. So what if a fish says, you know, I don't like water. I don't really understand water. I'm not even sure water exists. Are you kidding me? You're in water. Our very existence is in him. How could we say, well, I'm not sure he exists? Like I said last week, how did Big Bang and evolution even get in print? That no one plus nothing equals everything. Even little kids know if you have a painting, there must by law be a painter. Amen. So when you hear Jehovah in Scripture, keep in mind the Hebrew name for that is Yahweh, which is also translated, are you ready? I am the existing one. So when you come across, I mentioned Lord in all caps, it's Yahweh. It's Jehovah. He is Lord. He is life. He is the existing one. Listen to this. Jehovah comes from the root verb hava, H-A-V-A-H, that means to be or being. I am life. I am existence. Its brother, hava is brother to the Hebrew word shava, C-H-A-V-A-H, which means to live or life itself. So Yahweh, here's what I'm saying. Yahweh is the one who possesses permanent life, permanent existence. Permanent life, permanent existence. I am the existing one. So what's he saying to us? I'm the life that begot you. I'm Jehovah. I'm introducing myself, and I'm the life that got you. I am the one that possesses permanent existence. You had a beginning, I didn't. Come on, Holy Ghost. Let me say it this way. He exists within himself. He doesn't exist because of someone else. You and I say, I am because he is. He does not say that. He says, I am the I am. I am existence. Isn't it amazing? And he's so big and he's so beyond what we can comprehend, but he wants you to know him. He wants you to have relationship with him. He would say lovingly to Laura Harp. I almost said Laura Parks. Laura Harp. He said lovingly to her, I don't want just a devotion. I want to dwell with you. Yes. This is him. Elohim. And then Yahweh Elohim and Jehovah. Oh, man. I mean, my goodness. It's beyond what we can understand. And then, you know, you go to churches today and they're not worshiping him. They have no idea who he is. Right? You got people going, man, when are the four songs over? Yeah, and don't do the third verse either. Hey, if you don't like worship, you ain't gonna like heaven. Everybody in heaven, they're all falling down. Every crown that any elder had, any ministry person, any child of God had, every crown, they went and laid it down. Because He's God and we're not. And we should never struggle worshiping Him. Amen? Man, I just had a stirring, you know, in my heart the last couple of weeks that worship, oh God, in this house. Worship in this house is gonna skyrocket to new unfathomable levels beyond our comprehension. Lord, from the worship department to media department to the congregation to every aspect, Lord, that man, that this building couldn't contain the amount of our praise and reverence for the one true God. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It should never be, man. Or how about this one? Well, when are they going to play a song I like? Worship is not about you and your selection, buddy. As I said a couple of weeks ago, if we're not worshiping Him, we haven't seen Him. You don't come up to Lori and say, all right, Lori, here's how you worship. You lift your hands and then you dance, you know, like this. Now you're worshiping God. No, worship is in her. All she needs to do is see Him. And it can come out. Reverence can come out in different ways. We might have joy over here in the Holy Ghost with Dottie, and then Kyle over here. He might be on his face weeping. So don't lock people into your expression. What matters is their heart exploding with a revelation of Yahweh Elohim. A God who created everything but says, here's my name. I want you to know me. Oh, my goodness. Right? I mean, yeah. It's like, man, let's just run to the altar and worship, man. Just, we probably ought to do that today. You know, we ought to do that. We ought to end a little early and just worship. Because I'm telling you, it's in you as a human being to worship Him. You have to be taught not to do it. And it's so sad. We get born again. We go to church and they're like, hey, we don't do that. Hey, what are you doing? You raising your hands? You got a question? No, I'm raising my hands because there's something in me that loves Yahweh Elohim, and I can't help but express it. But it's born out of revelation, not a handbook. Woo, come on, Holy Ghost. My goodness. Yeah. He is the existing one. We have to say, well, I am because He is, but He says, I am the I am. Look at this. God is the only truly independent, self-generating being in the universe. He is self-existent. He only needs Himself to exist. My goodness. Where would we be without Him? Well, we wouldn't exist. We are not self-generative. We are branches. So we derive our life from another. That's what a branch does. It derives life from a different source. That's who we're not self-generative. He is. We're not. Fish are not self-generative. Fish rely on water to live. Plants rely on soil to live. Human beings rely on the Spirit of God to live. Amen. And this is a law. And that's why we run to town. We run to work. We go to school. Not to out-argue people that say they don't know who God is. We just want to put Him on display. Everywhere you go, you ought to be preaching the gospel. And sometimes, if necessary, use words. Come on, somebody. That's a great word. We don't even need words to preach the gospel. We didn't say one word to those 94 families. Our generosity speaks. The Thanksgiving outreach. Amen. I remember doing an outreach at Dollar General where we were doing free backpacks back to school. And we had all these tables outside of Dollar General over there in Nakoma Park off 23rd Street. And people would say, what are you guys doing? Well, we're just giving away free school supplies. And they'd come out, and they, I don't know if they're Christians or not, but they'd come out, they bought a bunch of school supplies and put them on our table. The image of God is written into them. So all we do in that is we just point them. Let me tell you why you're consumed to do it. Let me tell you why there's something within you that says generosity and kindness is my native land. There's something there. And then we give them the Holy Ghost. Right? Which is, I mean, we can't give it to them, but we point them that way. That they can receive the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that produces kindness. He becomes the power to do it. Because I can't produce that kind of kindness on my own, but I'm drawn to it. Yeah. I'm designed that way. Thank you, Brother Rick. God can never become irrelevant because all of creation depends on Him for life and existence. Think about that. God can never become irrelevant. You can say He doesn't exist, but that don't make it true. You can tell me God doesn't love you. That doesn't make it true. You know what 99% of people say who say, well, God doesn't love me. Tell me why. Well, I don't feel it. Okay, so your feelings are the highest discerner of truth in the universe. Well, praise God. We're all in big trouble. We're living based on what you feel is true. No, you can say He doesn't exist, but that doesn't change reality that He does. All creation depends on Him for life and existence because He is the ever-existing one. And so He'll never be irrelevant. You want to be relevant to human beings? Offer them Jesus Christ. God come in the flesh. The revelations will keep on coming until the final and fullest revelation of Himself, which is Jesus Christ, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen your Father Creator. But he's just gonna keep coming, keep coming. You wanna be relevant. As a church, you don't offer people lattes and smoke machines. Doesn't make you relevant to human beings. The church can't borrow from the culture to be relevant to the culture. We're not culture conformists. We're culture changers. We're culture shifters. We're here to change the culture to look like heaven. I'm not against lattes. I like them. You know, I'm a little against smoke because I think it might bother my allergies, but I'm not sure. we don't have to worry about that. But anyway, I'm just saying if you think that is what will connect people to you, you're wrong. You got to offer them Jesus Christ. So I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone with a pastor in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. What day was it? Wednesday of this week. And I walk into Taco Bell while I'm on the phone with him. And he was asking me, what's going on, you know, with different pastors and they're doing that. He read about it on Facebook, different guys doing different things, trying to be cool. I said, it's because of the lie of relevance. And so I'm talking on the phone out loud in Taco Bell. And I said, the church has got to get back to understanding. If you want to be relevant to human beings, you don't offer them, you know, lattes and light shows and this and that. You got to offer them Jesus Christ. He is relevant to human beings because He made them. Amen. And the cashier at Taco Bell looked at me and said, that is the truth. High five. Now, I don't know. I don't know whether she knows Jesus, but something in her resonated. Yeah, why doesn't the church just offer us life in Jesus Christ? God will never not be relevant to human beings because He made them all. Where's my Bible? Oh, there it is. Oh, we're having a good time. So the church ought to be offering relationship with God through Jesus Christ, not trying so hard to look like the culture so we can gain some church members. Right. Aren't you glad He delivered me from fear? I mean, I'm completely unafraid. I mean, whatever he says, I'm just going to say it. He knows that. We are culture carriers. We are culture changers. We are culture shifters, not culture conformance. So what we're praying is, we're praying that we'll see the real, authentic, one true God. Oh, good. I'm doing good. We want to see the authentic God. Amen? Amen. Because when we know the authentic creator of the universe, then we become an authentic people of God. And then we can, as we know Him, we can what? We can make Him known in a culture that says you really can't know Him. Oh, yes, you can. But we can't be an authentic people if we don't have an authentic relationship and knowledge of who God really is. And the purpose of this series is all these names. He keeps disclosing Himself. He keeps introducing Himself to you as, you know, life, source, healer. Amen. All those things. I want to be authentic as a pastor, as an elder. I want to be authentic. So I must have an authentic knowledge of who God is. And wouldn't that be awesome if we had an authentic people with an authentic knowing of God in a culture that fills the airwaves with unbelief, fills the airwaves with ignorance and darkness. Religion, oh my goodness, religion is so on Satan's payroll, because especially young people look at all the blood and death and tears and bondage they've seen religion do to this planet for centuries. So they say, I don't want anything to do with that. Well, God doesn't want you to have anything to do with religion. That's a relationship. That's why he discloses himself. How did we get off into all the religious practices? You know, maybe part of it was, and this is, I know how sometimes denominations are formed. God will do something incredible right here, 1960. And then we'll build a whole denomination that locks him into doing it the same way 50 years later. Well, my Bible says man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, ongoing, present tense, out of the mouth of God. And if he did it that way in 1960, that does not mean in 1961 he's still wanting to do it that way. I think he probably wants to grow you and mature you beyond that. And then we lock our church memberships and our denominations into this one revelation that he gave us in 1960, and you're dying. You're dying because he's life. He's ongoing. He's every day. Amen, somebody. I think that's one of the great things about Grace Church and our leadership here is that we're going to do whatever he asks us to do. And it doesn't matter if we didn't do it that way yesterday. Amen. And he may not do it that way tomorrow either. So this is important to know him and this ongoing revelation, not just for right now in America. How many of you think America needs it now? Yes, we do. But how about the future of America? For the future of America, we've got to be authentic people who have an authentic working knowledge of the one true God. Because God wants to fill this culture, are you ready, with teachers who have an authentic knowledge of him. He wants to fill the culture with students. Teenagers who have an authentic working knowledge of who he is. Football players who have an authentic working knowledge of who he is. CPAs who have an authentic working knowledge of who he is. Moms and dads who have an authentic working knowledge of who he is. That's what he's doing. And that's why we're in this series. And that's why, even though he's Elohim, standing outside of time, space, and matter, not subject to it, but since our beginning has been disclosing himself, name by name by name by name by name, so you could know him. Because he's filling this culture with people who know him. My goodness. So here's a great question. What are we doing outside? Everybody say, I love Brother Steve. What are we doing outside of Sunday morning to know this God who so desires we know him? Are we sitting with him daily? And remember, don't just sit with him, walk with him. Don't sit with him and say, well, that was my 5 minutes is up. All right, Jesus, I'm heading to the world. Hope I do good. Oh, you better walk out there with him. Amen. And I know, listen, I know he's in you, so he's with you. I get that. But you can live. See, you can let him in and never let him out. So while you're sitting with him and getting to know him, as you get up, you just simply say, all right, Lord, you ready? Lead me where you want to go. Let's go together. Amen. So what are we doing? Are we sitting with him outside of Sunday morning? Are we worshiping him outside of Sunday morning? Are we taking time in prayer outside of Sunday morning? Are we coming daily under the influence of the Holy Ghost outside of Sunday morning? Amen. That's what it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be under his influence. Are you in community outside of Sunday morning? What does that mean? Are you allowing humble people to hold you accountable to your true identity? I like that. Amen. I don't go to Rick and say, Rick, did you pray today? You didn't sin this week, did you? Remember that problem you told me in confidence that you had? Well, you're not doing that, are you? No, that's not accountability. I'm just going to encourage him. Hey, are you living the true you? Are you still walking by the Spirit? How can I help you? Are we in community with each other where we're holding each other accountable lovingly outside of Sunday morning, but through the week to who we really are.
Yeah, that's good.
The goal is not to not sin. Sin's already been dealt with. You come out of the grave, people. Come out of the grave. You're a new creation. Accountability is, are you living the new creation life? If you'll just walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you'll just walk in truth, you won't believe a lie. Amen. I like that way better. Are you with me on that? All right, look at this one. Exodus 33, verse 9 through 11. As soon as Moses went into the tent, the column of smoke would come down and stay at the entrance to the tent while Yahweh, Jehovah, spoke with Moses. When all the people saw the column of smoke standing at the entrance of the tent, they would all bow with their faces touching the ground at the entrance to their own tents. My goodness. Thank you for a revelation of God. Yahweh would speak to Moses personally. As a man speaks to his friend. This is our God. This is the one they say, well, you can't know him. It's his big bang. You know, the big bang, there it was. Oh, no. That's not what happened. He made a beginning. We were in it. And since that time, he's disclosing himself, telling us his names, speaking to us by the Spirit as one would speak to a friend. It's mind-blowing. My goodness. You see, do you see what religion did? And I don't mind picking on Christianity because I'm a Christian. But do you see how Sunday morning worship of this God is cheap? It's cheap. He's worth way more than that. Don't let religious practices dumb down your spirit walk with Yahweh. Amen. And I love Sunday morning. I tell you, nobody got to get me out of bed. I love coming. I love the people of God. And he loves you. I love that word. He had me write down this morning. You're not my people. You don't belong to any person. You're his. And so he said, be loving with my people. Be tender with my people. He says, he spoke to Moses personally as a man speaks to his friend, and then Moses would come back to the camp, but his assistant Joshua, son of Nun, stayed inside the tent. And then go down to verse 18. Moses said to the Lord, please let me see your glory. Oh, see, man, we long to know him. And Yahweh said, Jehovah, I will let all my goodness pass in front of you, and there I'll call out my name, Yahweh, and I'll be kind to anyone I want to. I'll be merciful to anyone I want to, but you can't see my face because you can't see my face and live. Oh my goodness. It's because he's so bright. He's so big. It'd be like, I don't know. The glory, I mean, like literally could melt our face off. I mean, just so much light, so much fire. He's an all-consuming fire. He's amazing. And Yahweh said, look, there's a place near me, so stand by here in the cleft of the rock, and when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the crevice or the cleft of the cliff and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. And then I'll take my hand away, and you'll see my back, but my face must not be seen. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God, everybody say, but God, has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Gavin, you and Stephen, come. We're going to worship. I want us to worship here the last 5 or 10 minutes. Yahweh, Jehovah. So we move from Elohim. Well, he's God, he's big, he's creator. And then he says, here's my name, Jehovah. And I want you to know me. And then for Moses to say, can I see your glory? Well, it'll kill you. But I'll let you see it in measure. And then look at Jesus Christ, the glory, John 17. The glory you've given me, I've made known to them. Let's stand together. It's a valid question to say, in our knowing of him, do we want to know him more? That's a valid question. Do you know that Moses, from this time, he could have been satisfied with the burning bush. He could have been satisfied with the parting of the Red Sea. But no. Knowing him, he wanted to know him more. And do you know that Moses wrote Genesis? It's incredible when you think about it. After the encounter, he penned this: in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And he kept writing until the history of our beginning was completed. Jehovah God let Moses see all the way back to Elohim and write about things he had not seen before. It's incredible. You got a song for us? Okay. Father, we come to you. Well, there's another name. How about Father? Father God, Elohim Creator, we come to you to worship you. Let us have a glimpse of heaven right here on the earth.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.